Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
No, you see how the dough is cracked and the red is showing through. That's a bad baby, Mary.
I'm Andy.
Always forgetting to bring a notepad? Dermatographia could solve your problems. I'm Kelly.
You say I have toxic epidermal necroliasis? Well, it's no skin off my back. I'm Adam.
Have you got skin? Because we're going to make it crawl. I'm Sean, and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about skin. Yep.
I have some of that.
Yeah, I hope you're covered in it. So skin comes from Middle English skin, except it's spelled with two N's.
Ah, yes, the skin.
Yeah.
The extra N makes it old-fashioned-y.
Yeah, and put an E at the end, too.
Yeah. This is not one of those words that we didn't feel like we needed to mess with. There is dermatophobia, which is this fear of skin problems.
Okay, and problems.
Yeah. And this comes from Greek dermato, which means skin, and epidermis and that sort of stuff.
Epididymis.
We're going to start with our acid pop quiz. So true or false?
True.
People have the same number of melanocytes, which are the cells that cause freckles and tanning and that sort of thing.
People have the same number?
Right.
That seems false.
If that were true, I wouldn't be selling melanin pills.
Yeah, I thought like increased melanin was what caused some people to be darker than others. So
Kelly,
she's only talking about the Greeks.
I think we're allowed to acknowledge the fact that people of color exist. I think that's safe.
Seems insensitive to me.
They what?
I'm gonna say false regardless because it seems like such an obviously true thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna say. Well, they all have the same amount. I'm going to say true. It's a wild and crazy thing.
It is, in fact, true.
How is that possible? Who accounted?
So you can have them, and they can just not be active.
Mm.
So it's just about how active these are. And in some people, like people from Africa, they're very active. And in other people, like some Native Americans, they're almost completely inactive.
Hmm. Let me put on my skepticals.
Is there some way that we can make them active and really shake up the South?
I don't know.
You talking about some sort of like laser gun that?
Yeah, melanin gun.
I feel like Dr. Seuss wrote a story about that. The Sneetches.
Oh yes, they lived on the beaches.
True or false? Everyone has a unique fingerprint.
I've always been told that's true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd hate to go to jail for some other guy's fingerprints.
Are we saying that, like, each fingerprint I have is the only fingerprint like it, or, like, my set of fingerprints is unique?
Your set.
True.
That seems true. Like, there's a lot of variation in there.
It's true.
Yeah, that's like, I don't know, that's like the foundation of CSI and all that.
My whole belief system.
It's got to be true.
Well, this is false on a technicality.
Clones.
So there are, some people don't have fingers.
Well, there's a few skin conditions like Naegeli syndrome and Dermatopathia pigmentosa reticularis.
Ooh,
and mouthful. Basically, either of these disorders mean your skin has no ridges, which means these people have perfectly smooth fingers, and therefore all of their fingerprints are exactly the same as everyone else that has this disorder.
I was going to say it's easier to murder somebody, but I suppose they're just going to search for the one guy with no fingerprints.
I feel like that's a good question.
It is, but that's how I roll. Just wonder our fill in the blank. How much does your skin weigh by itself?
Ooh.
And I'll take a percentage or a poundage.
But how far down does my skin go?
Pretty far.
That sounds like a philosophical question.
Yeah. How deep is skin deep?
I'm going to say it is 15% of your body weight.
That seems like a good guess.
See, I was kind of aiming for higher, but then I thought, you know, I ain't got much skin, right?
Are we talking about percentages? Is that what you asked for?
Yeah. You can give me a percentage.
No, Adam, you personally, how much does your skin weigh?
10%.
I feel like that's high.
There's a lot of liquid in there.
Yeah, but there's it doesn't go very deep, you know? Once you're getting to, like, fats and stuff, we're no longer in the skin realm. I'm going to say it's, like, 3%.
Well, Andy nailed it. It is 15%.
I knew it was a good guess.
That's why I'm a dermatologist.
Here's your diploma.
And that's roughly 20 pounds or 9 kilos, give or take, depending on body size.
Depending on the person.
Your skin is technically your largest organ.
I've developed a new weight loss plan, people.
I gotta shed all that skin weight.
Have this pumice stone.
So what is special about African spiny mice?
Well, the spines.
I think I know this one. Andy's giving me a look.
Well, I was waiting for you to say it so I could copy you.
Well, I don't want to say it first if I think I'm right.
Well, now that the teacher knows I'm going to cheat. African spiny mice take the skin of others and wear it like a trophy on their spines.
Oh God, tiny serial killers.
I'm going to say they have their skin develops into like some sort of plating.
Ooh, that sounds cool.
Little armored mice, that would be cool.
Like a pangolin.
I think those are the ones that have like super thin skin and it breaks easy, but it also heals easier.
Mm. Yeah, that's more or less right.
I don't like looking at scabs.
You look at that scabby mouse.
I don't want to look at the scabby mouse.
So these mice have denser than average hair, and the skin is, and don't ask me how they came up with this number, 77% easier to tear off than other mice.
Is there a scale for mice skin tearability?
Hey, we found a new mouse. Hand it to Danny and his pliers.
Give it to Danny clank, in the basement. Clank.
So basically, every part of these mice acts like a lizard's tail and just falls off at the slightest tug.
And wiggles.
Then these mice can regrow their skin with all of its hair and sweat follicles with no scarring in just a few days. So these little guys have the closest thing to Wolverine powers that we see in mammals.
So their defense mechanism is, okay, Predator, you can eat a little of me. I feel like predators are just going to learn to keep them, like farm them, just like nibble on them.
I read about it a long time ago. I think what it was the, like their skin is more delicate and like it's thinner, but it's also simpler. And that's what makes it heal better because it's less complex to repair. Hmm. But I'd have to double check.
So what is unique about the zombie worm?
Well, it's undead.
That's top of the list.
What's unique?
Brought to life by some sort of lich fisherman.
Ah, yes, a licherman. I keep my phylactery in my tackle box.
It's got to have something to do with skin.
It's only true. Found on the skin of corpses.
Hmm.
Hmm.
The zombie worm's skin is dead. The rest of it's alive. It's constantly sloughing off its skin.
Oh, God. It doesn't have skin.
Ooh. So these tiny worms were discovered in the bones of a rotting gray whale carcass. With no mouth or stomach, these worms instead secrete acid from their skin.
Oh, God.
As proteins and fats dissolve around them, they absorb the nutrients directly through their skin.
Good osmosis.
They're kind of like a giant stomach?
Yeah, they're basically like an inside-out stomach that squirms around.
No, I don't like it.
So how thick is the skin on the thickest animal?
Oh, I'm thinking like rhinos or...
6 inches.
Okay.
If beauty's only skin deep, then...
Yeah, it's really far down there.
I'm going to price this right, Adam, and be like 7 inches.
$1 thick.
2 inches.
So human skin is about a sixth of an inch thick, or 6 millimeters.
More than I thought it was.
The skin of the sperm whale is 14 inches thick.
Ooh,
or 35 centimeters.
I didn't think of whales. Yeah. I was stuck on land animals.
I was thinking of like our heavily armored land animals like elephants and rhinos.
That's so terrestrial of both of you.
So we're on to our terms. What is glabrous skin?
Is it like Frabjous Day?
Glabrous.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like an elf name.
Elf skin.
It is glamorous skin that's been downgraded a few letters.
I'm so glamorous.
I think it's some sort of artificial skin replacement. That sounds like a brand name.
That sounds cool.
I'm Jonathan Glabrous, and this is my skin.
I'm going to say skin devoid of pigment.
That's devoid of something. Glabrous skin is skin without hair follicles.
Damn it.
Human scar tissue is the glabrous skin that most people have.
It makes you a beautiful, smooth boy.
So what is a peely? P-I-L-I.
Sounds like a sweet skateboard trick.
That's what I turn into if I get too sunburned.
I was thinking something like that. Let's just go with that. A peely is what you pull off after a bad sunburn.
Yep.
Are we just waiting on me?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's the sunburn thing. It's those little strips of skin that you pull off.
Yeah. Well, this is kind of interesting. A peely is a tiny muscle that's attached to the hair follicles in your skin, and it's what raises your hairs when you're cold or freaked out.
Oh.
So when your hair stands on
it raises my hackles.
Yep. So when your hair stands on end, it's your peely that's doing it.
It's your goosebump muscle.
Oh, don't talk about my peely.
So what is desquamation?
What's a squaw?
Desquamation.
I know what a squaw is.
Yeah.
Animation is when things move.
Put it all together and you get...
Oh, that's a bad joke. I'm not going to deal with that.
Good man.
Andrew Jackson. Desquamation is when you have no squaw. This gives me almost nothing to work off of.
Yeah, I can't think of any root words here.
I'm thinking of squamous.
Yeah.
As a related word.
And of course, we all know what that means. Yeah, but squamous. Maybe remind our listeners.
It's actually one I don't know the definition of. Lovecraft liked it.
I mean, I've heard it before. I just don't know what it means.
Ah, yes. And obviously, desquamation is when your skin is stolen by an elder god.
I'm going to say it's the removal of moisture from skin.
Mm.
Squamation sounds squishy and unpleasant.
It's deswampation.
I'll just say the removal of all skin.
From everyone.
Adam's probably the closest. This is when your skin peels off, like from a sunburn. So your answer to the last question was right for this one.
Yeah. So it's not like Hellraiser where all of your skin comes off.
Right. Well, I mean, it can be, but mostly.
There are degrees.
So what is skin slippage?
That's what causes wrinkles.
Yeah.
Skin slippage is what happens to Angelica Houston in The Witches when her nose starts coming out.
Something about no connective tissue holding your skin on.
Just slide around in there all day.
Like you can actually like turn around backwards in your own skin. Think about it.
So if you were to die unnoticed and be left alone for a few weeks, your skin would start to slide off your body. This happens a little at a time, but eventually you'd end up with something like a full body sock. And in some cases, when the body was damaged beyond recognition, forensic scientists cut around the wrist, remove the skin of the hand, stretch it over their own hand as the world's creepiest glove, and then take fingerprints to help identify the deceased person.
You got one of them victim gloves.
Real weird, Jim.
Look what I did.
Anyone?
Look at the science I'm doing.
So what is dermatographia?
That's a skin graft.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Or a skin map.
Maybe a pie graph about skin.
That's when you have some sort of pigment in your skin, and so you leave like inky marks every time you touch something.
I do want to meet that person.
Dermatographia is a skin condition that I honestly kind of wish that I had. It's overly sensitive skin. So people with this can literally draw on themselves with a light scratch of their fingernails, which causes the skin to raise up.
Yeah, Braille style.
Yeah. So you can art all over yourself anytime you want to.
As someone with moderately sensitive skin, let me just tell you, you don't actually want overly sensitive skin.
I'm sure I don't, but it looks so cool.
Yeah.
You want to describe this for our listeners?
Yeah, so the picture that we're all looking at right now, which you can see if you come to our website, is a picture of a woman's leg, and she's basically written a poem across her lap. And yeah, you can just read the poem. It's just written, yep. Except it's her skin raised up.
Yeah, it looks like it could be scar tissue.
Yeah,
from
the
way.
It looks like a brand.
Yeah, but it goes away in just a few minutes.
We hope.
It definitely does. And that concludes our acid pop quiz. So now we're going to discuss some horrible skin diseases that one can have.
And finally.
I ordered these from ones that I would be sort of okay with having up through I would do anything not to have. Because some of these are pretty awful. So we'll start with...
Ooh. All right.
Is this the correct picture?
Yep. So this is neurofibromatosis.
No, thank you.
This is a relatively rare genetic disorder that basically causes benign tumors to grow anywhere that you have nerves.
I have a lot
anywhere
of
they
them.
Damn well feel like.
Yeah.
I got a lot of nerve.
So in case you didn't know, you're pretty much nerves everywhere. This includes your skin, but also your brain and spinal cord.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah, benign.
Totally harmless.
So some people can't see after their eyes grow over. Some people can't hear after their ears fill with tumors. And some people have heart attacks as their lumpy heart gives out.
I feel like whoever came up with this was confused about the meaning of the word benign.
Benign means life-threatening, right?
So the picture that we're looking at is of 62-year-old Mohammed Umar, and he started to develop these skin-like bubbles all over right as he hit puberty.
Never say the sentence skin-like bubbles again.
As he grew older, he just got more and more lumpy.
Yeah.
Don't we all, though?
Now most people shy away from him, and he can't seem to keep down a job.
His only job experience is customer service.
Can I serve you your bubble tea?
He's a mascot.
God.
So despite this, he's been married for over 30 years and has two children, both of which were fortunate enough not to inherit the disease.
They look like a happy family.
Yeah. I mean,
and it is ribbed for her pleasure.
He's a relatively upbeat guy in the interviews with him. He feels a little bad, but he seems to keep a positive outlook about things.
I feel slightly bad that I'm the human equivalent of bubble wrap.
Get our next picture here.
Okay, so the last one made me slightly ill. What's this one going to do?
This one's not much worse. So our next disorder is epidermodysplasia verrucoformosis.
Cool weed you got, bro.
And this is a rare skin disease that basically means the body has no way to fight the human papilloma virus, which is warts.
Those are warts.
Yep. Typically, a wart shows up on your hand or your foot, and it goes away on its own in a few weeks, or sometimes you get a doctor to freeze it off. If your body doesn't know what to do, however, the virus can multiply prodigiously. The HPV can grow in rigid, curling arcs that have been described as bark-like.
Yeah, I was going to say, you start growing into like a tree stump.
Yeah, basically. The picture that we're looking at is of 27-year-old Abul Banjidar, and he went into the hospital and had 11 pounds or 5 kilos of warts removed from around his hands when he could no longer hold his daughter.
So many witches were jealous.
So Mr. Banjidar underwent 16 surgeries to remove the warts and was given a clean bill of health. However, less than a year later, the warts started to grow again, and he's back in the hospital for another round of abrasion and skin grafts.
It looks like he's holding bouquets of tree bark.
Yeah.
Or like some sort of fungus.
Yeah.
And this is another guy that's more or less upbeat about the whole thing. He just
you have to be, right?
Slightly inconvenienced by having hands made of wood.
You're hoping he's not in data entry.
Yeah.
Very bad at PUBG.
My words per minute really took a hit.
This is him post-surgery.
Wow.
Yeah. So they found his hands under there.
With that disease, it kind of looks like the disease from Game of Thrones, the stone skin.
Yeah, it does.
Wow. Still, and his fingernails are like long and sharp and curled because he can't get to them because of the warts.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I figure a lot of hand hygiene's going to fall to the wayside.
Well, you know, he always gets turned around when he goes in for a manicure.
Can you do anything about this?
Clunk.
So our next disease is lymphatic filariasis, And this is more commonly known as elephantiasis.
This one I've heard of.
Yeah. This disease causes certain parts of the body to swell to immense proportions.
It's usually the lower portion of the body.
Yeah. Often testicles.
Yeah. It's typically found in the arms, legs, and groin, though it can affect the head, trunk, and breasts.
Not my trunk.
Silence tree.
People suffering from this look as though they tried on the skin of someone three times their size and then stuffed the empty space with cottage cheese.
Yeah.
So the skin is tight, painful, heavy, and frequently covered in ulcers.
I mean, the picture here, it looks like fairly healthy skin still, but
more or less.
Usually I think it gets like cracked and stuff.
Yeah.
So this condition is caused by parasitic worms that are carried by mosquitoes.
One more reason to hate mosquitoes.
Once inside a person,
no, they're great.
The worm swims into the lymph nodes where they breed and cause massive swelling. I thought of this as an archaic problem, but in the year 2000, it's estimated that 120 million people became infected with these parasitic worms.
Did you say 120 million?
That's correct.
That's a big number.
It's not an archaic problem. It's one of those third world problems.
So in a more or less typical case, and this is the picture that we're looking at now, 35-year-old Sadia Abdinur became infected with the disease, and her leg slowly grew to 70 pounds, or 31 kilos.
Oh, that's just one leg?
That's one leg.
I thought stuff was like hanging, like I thought maybe her belly was hanging down.
Nope, that's her leg. In her small village, she was branded as a witch, and they claimed that the devil possessed her leg.
Just the leg.
Wait a goddamn second.
So she was cast out of her village and she was unable to work. So her two children beg for scraps in the street every day. Every night they hug their mom goodbye, suspecting that she will be dead by morning. A British charity was attempting to raise money to perform surgery on her leg, but I could not find out whether they succeeded or not.
Yeah. I'll give her money.
Woman.
Yeah. This was from 2013, I think, and I searched around for a while and could literally find nothing more about it. So
you said 120 million people a year?
In the year 2000, yeah.
And, like, is there any treatment for this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can get treated for the worms, and then basically they just go in and drain the limb. You know, you can definitely come back from this. It's not, you know, it's not absolutely a life-threatening disease. It's just if you live in the middle of a swamp in the middle of Africa, there's not a whole lot you can do about it.
The most shocking picture of this that I've seen, like I said, a lot of times it gets to if you're a male, it gets to the testicles.
Yeah.
There's a guy wearing a sweatshirt upside down and using the hood to cradle his gigantic nuts.
That can happen. Okay. Fair warning to my co-hosts. From this point on, they start to get a bit gross.
Okay. Adam is my my picture looker at her.
Okay. You click, I look.
Who's going to warn me?
Okay, that's not so bad. Not something I want.
It's like a wasp hive.
So our next disease is called pheomocytoma, and this is also called Madura foot. And this is caused by a fungal infection, typically in the feet, that causes swelling with deep, pus-filled fissures.
Fun.
Indeed. This infection usually takes several years to progress to a painful, disgusting culmination, by which point it can be exceedingly hard to treat.
I hope you'd go in before that.
Yeah, would.
But then you need access to doctors.
Yeah.
Tough actin to nectin.
Bam.
So this fungus grows well in tropical climates, and it's typically found between 15 degrees south and 30 degrees north.
I don't know what degrees we're at.
Zero.
So in the picture we're looking at, Al-Sadiq Mohamed Musa Omar was 15 when he got a thorn in his foot while playing in a field. He pulled a thorn, cleaned out the wound, and thought no more about it.
I've had thorns in my feet before.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Go see the doctor immediately, Kelly.
Now!
Run while you still can.
So a few weeks later, the wound was looking infected, but Mr. Omar ignored it. But the wound seemed to spread and form painful sores wherever it went. Several months later, when the pain became too much, he went to the hospital for treatment. He was diagnosed with pheomocytoma, and surgery was performed to remove the infection. He went home, but 2 years later, the infection was back and worse than ever.
Damn fungi.
Yeah, right.
He went to the Mycetoma Research Center and underwent 7 more surgeries over the next several years, but nothing seemed to help. Left in a constant, excruciating pain, he begged doctors for months to have his leg amputated, which they eventually agreed to reluctantly.
I mean, it just keeps coming back.
Unfortunately, yeah. It spread to the other foot.
While this stopped the pain in his leg, he still fears the infection could return. And he's not wrong, though I did not hear whether it came back another time or not.
God, no.
Yeah, I feel so much better about some of the athlete's foot I've had in the past.
To describe what that disease looked like, because I've stopped staring at it, imagine that your foot turned into a balloon that was also a wasp nest.
Yeah, that's pretty much right on the head.
Anytime you have like a weird nagging symptom and you're reluctant to go to the doctor because you're afraid of bad news, think of this and just, you know, get it addressed as soon as possible.
No, I like my wasp foot.
Okay, here we go on to the next one.
Oh boy. He said they're going to get worse, Andy.
Worse than wasp foot? Wah, cha-cha.
It's not pretty.
Scab boy.
So now we are looking at toxic epidermal necrolysis.
Oh, God.
Anything that starts with toxic is not going in a good direction.
Yeah, and anything that has the word necro in it is also probably bad.
Don't want toxic, those two together.
Toxic meaning poisonous. Dermo meaning skin.
Poisonous skin.
Necro meaning dead, and I don't know the last one.
Yep. Lysis meaning remove. So you get poisoned and your dead skin falls off. This is where your body has an adverse reaction to typically a type of medication or virus.
Yeah. It can be like anything, and yeah. You might not have had a reaction to it before.
It's true.
Adam, don't say things like that.
These medications have long, complicated names, but they are used to treat epilepsy, excessive uric acid, and HIV. But basically, your body decides it doesn't like whatever it is, so it decides to shed potentially all of your skin.
It just hits the panic button and ejects your corpse out of your skin.
Ejects your corpse.
Our bodies are so bad at taking care of us. Like, so many of our treatments for illness are just like death, like fever. Like, we'll just roast you until you're better. Like, we'll
burn the virus out.
We'll just remove your skin.
I got bad news. We seem to be allergic to something. Get rid of it.
All of it?
Wait, get rid of the thing that we're allergic to? No, the skin. The skin, you idiot.
Well, no, I think what happens is the body deposits it in the skin and then gets rid of it.
So get this. Not only will this happen all over your body, it can also happen in your mouth and lungs.
Blah!
In one particularly gruesome story, which this is the picture we're looking at, 11-year-old Calvin Locke was suffering from a sore throat, took some ibuprofen, and promptly lost 2/3 of his skin.
He does not look happy.
Ibuprofen.
Yep. In critical condition for days, he asked his mom if he was dying. She tried to assure him that he wasn't, but he kept saying that he would see her on the other side. Calvin pulled through, though it's now a long and painful process of regrowing all his skin.
Yeah, well, people that are afflicted by this are basically treated like burn victims.
Yeah, they typically go to burn wards.
I need you to tell me this is very rare. That's what I need you to say.
I think it is, though I don't actually have any numbers. It's at least rare enough that I couldn't find a whole lot of stories about it. So it's not like this happens every other day.
Yeah, it's like only 1 in 5 people.
I mean, if it was super common, I think they'd be a lot more careful with medicines.
Okay, so we're on to our final story.
It's called All Your Skin Falls Off You.
We just saw that one.
Yeah, that was the last one. The second to worst one.
It's pixel. Whoa.
Oh, goodness.
He looks like a raspberry cruller.
So we're now looking at harlequin ichthyosis.
Oh, I don't like any of those words for skin. Go ahead and get rid of that picture, Andy.
This is a rare genetic condition where the skin is especially thick and especially brittle. This disease is often called harlequin baby syndrome, as it's immediately apparent that a baby is suffering from this disorder. The skin is often lighter than normal and cracks into diamond shapes with huge bloody fissures between the babies squirm and cry.
So the description I'm going to give is, if you've ever seen like a lava rock monster
yeah.
in anything,
Mm-hmm.
That's what that child looks like.
Yep. So the thick skin makes moving and breathing difficult, and the constant open wounds drains the blood body of fluid and fills it with infections.
Yeah, that sounds accurate.
Yep. It used to be very rare for babies to survive if they were born with this condition, but recent developments allow these children to pull through. So I'm going to get another picture here.
I thought that he was going to say this disease used to be very rare, but now...
So we're looking at our next picture here. So this is Nusrat Shaheen, and she suffers from this condition. She starts every day with a bath filled with rigorous scrubbing to remove the excess layers of hardened skin.
Strange. Mm.
She then applies a special cream to her entire body, and she reapplies the cream throughout the day. She ends the day with another scrubbing bath, followed by one last round of creams.
I hope they keep the cream in another bath.
At 34, she is currently the oldest person with harlequin ichthyosis.
So she's basically removing the hardened skin before it can crack and open wounds.
Yeah, pretty much. And that is the skin condition that I would like the least.
Well, thank you. This has been awful.
So they can't all be fun. At least not for us.
I want to go back to the inventors.
So I'll stop torturing you with pictures. Anybody have any personal stories about their skin?
Man, I've got sensitive skin on my face and neck, so whenever I shave, it's all open wounds all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, you're shaving the wrong way. Like, no, I'm shaving correctly. I've looked it up. I just get razor burn at the touch of anything.
Yeah. Well, on the ship, some people would get like special permission to not have to shave all the time for that sort of reason.
Huh.
We also received training about degloving.
Yeah.
Yes. Like if you're doing line handling, like holding onto a big rope that's attached to the dock or another ship or something, you're not supposed to wear any rings or watches, because if they get caught on the line, when the line gets away from you, it could take all of your skin from your hand anyways.
Yeah.
Not all of your skin.
Shoom!
I got him.
I turned into a lizard once.
That's true. You did.
Did you take Accutane?
This was when I was in college. I started having these red patches on my skin, and they were quite itchy, and I did not know what was going on, but I trusted Dr. Google, so I went to good old WebMD, and after a little of poking and putting in symptoms, I was assured that I either had syphilis or something called pityriasis rosea, which is when you break out for no particular reason in these scaly red patches. They usually show up on your back in what they call a Christmas tree pattern. And I had it all down my back and front and all down my arms. It didn't climb onto my face nicely enough, but it was in my scalp. And it's completely non-contagious, completely harmless. You itch like hell. My favorite part was I went into my doctor because I was turning into a lizard, and she had like a little intern with her that day. So they came into the room and she took one look at me and she was like, oh, good. We haven't had anything interesting yet.
Oh, good.
That's never words you want to hear.
Did you anger any Romani people before you had the condition?
Yeah, there's really nothing they can give you for it. They gave me something for the itching, and my very sweet, loving boyfriend took me out and bought me, because this was the middle of summer, bought me a lot of really lightweight, long-sleeved shirts that I could wear until it went away.
See, I took Accutane for, what, like a year? If you don't know what Accutane is, it was pills that it gets rid of your acne pretty much forever, but it also turns you into a suicidally depressed lizard.
Yeah.
Like, they take your blood to make sure that your liver's still working while this is happening. And they, like, while they're doing it, they're like, so, thought about killing yourself? Or... But what it did was it dried out all of my skin, eventually to the point where I was in choir class, except that I couldn't open my mouth too wide, or else it'd be just the corners of my mouth would just split open.
Crazy. Want to know how I got these scars?
It's kind of a boring story. From choir class.
and you could tap me on the nose and there'd just be a waterfall of blood from inside there.
I don't know if it's Accutane, but one of the things I learned with this pregnancy is there's an acne medication that is so dangerous to fetuses that they will not prescribe it to you unless you are on birth control and you can provide proof that you are on, like, medical birth control. You can't just be using a condom. And if you do become pregnant while on it, they advise abortion. Like that is what you're supposed to do. It's extremely dangerous to fetuses.
It could be like this thing made me miserable for a year. And then when I was done, all of a sudden my acne was gone forever.
Well, that's something, I guess.
Yeah, except that the entire time you're like, God, I want to die. And the medication helps with that. It's like, yeah, you do want to die.
Being the fair-skinned redhead that I am, I've gotten a number of pretty bad sunburns, like blisters and whatnot.
Yeah.
Not for a long time, mostly when I was a kid.
Well, same when I was a kid. Like, the one I remember most is we went to Lake Tahoe.
Lake Tahoe was really bad for it. Like, it's always kind of cold up there, even in the summer, because you're up in the mountains, but, like, apparently,
there's very
little
atmosphere left because you're 6,000 feet above sea level.
And it all reflecting off of the lake as well.
Yeah. I got these really bad sunburns that were blistering, and then I went to a McDonald's play place, and this little girl, like, climbed on my back, and I was wearing a white shirt that suddenly turned into a yellow mess.
When I was living down in Arizona with Sean, I'm also extraordinarily fair-skinned, and we decided to go rafting or tubing on the river, and because I know that I burn, I was wearing long sleeves and, like, boy shorts, so they were down past my knees, and so there was just, like, the only skin showing on me was from my knee to my ankle, and I just slathered that in sunscreen. Mm-hmm. And I got burnt so badly, I couldn't walk for 3 days. And because my legs never see the sun, I had the marks of where the sunscreen was gone, where it had 4 years. Like, 4 years later, you could look at my legs and see the parts where I had burned.
Wild.
Working in the Persian Gulf, I got very good at, like, as hot and sunny as it was out all the time, I would put on, like, more layers, like, cover up more skin. Never got sunburned out there.
It looks like a character from The Thing.
I am not a person that's easily grossed out. There's only one time in my entire life that I have been grossed out, and it involved skin. My mom is a vet, and I kind of grew up in vet clinics and seeing animals with their stomachs cut open and all of their organs on a table next to them is just a normal thing for me. That doesn't throw me off at all.
As a side note, being a friend of Sean's, if you were going to go stay at his house, oftentimes you got to stay at a vet clinic for a while and see these things as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It comes up. I just forget that it bothers other people. Like, to me, it's just no big deal.
Well, it was never like the surgeries that bothered me. It was always like the mustard poops.
But one time my mom was working with a rabbit and she's like, hey, Sean, can you come over here and help me hold this rabbit? And I was like, okay, sure. And if you don't know this, when you're holding on to a rabbit, especially a rabbit that you don't know and is kind of freaked out, you have to hold on to them really hard. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to just really get a hold of them, because if you don't, they can kick their back legs so hard that they will break their own backs.
Jeez. So
you don't want to have somebody else's pet break their back in your hands. So you hold on to a rabbit for its dear life.
You save that for your own pets.
Break your own rabbit's back, please.
So I've got a hold of this rabbit, you know, it's like right up on my chest and I've got a good grip on it. And my mom is just sort of like poking it and prodding it. And I didn't ask what was wrong. You know, she's just like, hold this rabbit. I'm like, okay, so I'm hanging on. And she's just kind of poking at it. And then she sort of frowns at it for a second, and she sort of like scruffs the rabbit. She takes a pinch of skin behind its neck, and then she pulls, and this rabbit's skin just kind of peeled away.
What?
And underneath its skin, I don't know what it was, but all I know is it was green and it smelled horrible. And I was just there just kind of, oh God. But I also knew that I couldn't let go of this rabbit. So I just toughed it out and stuck it out. And she's just sort of like, huh, well, that's not right.
That's not supposed to be there.
Just put it back. Just
kept poking around and she's like, okay, that's good. Thanks. And she took the rabbit and I ran from the room. I did not throw up, but that is probably the only time I can think of in my whole life that I have been grossed out.
I did think of one more story.
Okay.
When I was considering becoming a police officer, like the rest of my entire family, my mother said, oh, yeah, why don't you spend the day with your sister?
Oh, yeah.
This resulted in me seeing some fallen off toes, but that's a different story.
There's skin on those.
Yeah, sure. But, well, I don't know. We might get defeated at some point. But basically, my sister was like, yeah, okay, now it's time for you to help us out here. I want you to take off this guy's socks. I took off one of his socks and some toes came with it. But then there was a problem within the jail. So we had to go in there. And apparently this guy that is constantly a problem always gets in fights, but his skin was very thin. So if another prisoner punched him, like his arm would split open and he'd be bleeding everywhere.
Well, he's part spiny mouse.
So like we walk in and this guy who kind of looked like the French guy from Green Mile has like this long, it looked like a laceration down his arm, but it was just his skin split open again. He got in another fight. So I got to see the infirmary. That's fun too.
Oh, what lessons you learned.
Well, note that he's not a police officer.
All right. Well, if nobody has any more personal stories, then we'll move on to what are your morals worth? So another skin condition that I didn't bring up during the episode is cutaneous porphyrias. And this is extreme sensitivity to sunlight. When exposed to direct sunlight for even short periods of time, you will experience a reddening of the skin and burning pain. Sometimes your skin will blister, and sometimes, for no particular reason, you will grow excessive hair on affected areas.
That's unexpected.
So basically, you turn into Bela Lugosi.
Maybe it's a protective reaction.
Oh, well, that's probably not far off, actually.
How much would I have to pay you to live with this condition for 1 year?
I live in the desert.
I live in Seattle and never go outside.
Yeah.
I was going to say, your odds are better in Seattle, I would think.
Can I move into your baby room?
I mean, as long as you're getting paid enough that you don't have to leave the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the question is, how much do I have to pay you to not leave the house for a year?
And just lock yourself indoors for an entire year.
I would start going crazy. It happens if I don't leave the house for like 2 days.
You have a VR thing. You could be anywhere you want in the world. That's how VR works, right?
I can play super hot all I want.
Just invest in some heavier blinds and you're set.
Well, I suppose I could invest in some very heavy coats.
Yeah. Or like one of those cool bio suits.
You could go out at night.
That's true. Yeah, you could leave the house as much as you want at night.
Leave the house at night, sailor's delight. But I can only shop at Walmart.
You're in Reno. There's plenty of stuff to do after dark.
Well, yeah, and gamble and drink.
And during it's going to be for a whole year. During the winter, it gets dark at what, like 5?
He's right.
Yeah, ooh, even earlier here.
Yeah, in Seattle, the sun comes up around like 9 o'clock and goes down at like 3 in the afternoon.
Eh, I'd do it for $30,000.
Yeah?
$30,000 for a year?
Yeah.
Is that enough to live on for a year?
It's more than I make right now.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
I could get a lot of writing done.
Yeah.
I like going places, so I'm going to up it to $50,000.
If you want to go places, you need enough money for a fully tinted car, bodysuit of some sort.
I just need the bodysuit.
He just needs to go out at night.
Just live for a year like a vampire.
It does sound like one of the origins of vampirism myths.
Yeah,
I'm sure it is.
Well, especially like the growing hair is like, oh, vampires turn into wolves.
Yeah, I'll say 40,000. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I need to be able to at least pay for my condo so that I have somewhere to be for that year. But yeah, not much more. Honestly, I think I'd be okay with that. I could get a lot of work done in a year, especially locked in a single room.
That's all the pros do it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to say, I'll go in right in the middle. I'll say 45,000.
Mm-hmm.
We did it, guys.
Nice work. You made it.
Thanks for the money, Sean. You sucker.
Thanks for infecting me with the skin disease.
Adam, start closing the blinds.
It's night.
Enjoy your nightmares tonight, kids.
Yes, we made it through the whole episode and only two people threw up.
Andy's just going to be dreaming of cherry pastry babies.
No.
Well, that's all we've got for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
No, you see how the dough is cracked and the red is showing through. That's a bad baby, Mary. I'm Andy.
Oh, no.